Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, Astro Prisma, crowdfunding, the Black Company RPG. It's been about 20 years since we've had one of those. Dimension 20 at Madison Square Gardens. Jesus. Gummy Quest.
Yep.
And Champions of AI. Humanity's fight against the machines.
Valerian Jihad 2024.
This is pretty close to the being the instigating event. This is the Franz Ferdinand of of AI. Yeah, we'll get to that. So let's start out with Astro Prisma. So they're in there last week. I should have mentioned them a little earlier. They're very interesting.
Hurry up.
So hurry up. So follow that link. So I put a link in the description for the stream. So a solo sci-fi RPG about space exploration and faction conflict in a retro-futuristic universe. And a really nice graphic design, really nice layout.
I've seen this. It does look very retro. I don't know if they said like a cassette future, but like that's what it kind of looks like.
Yeah, and it has like some of the inspirations are like Ghost in the Shell and stuff. So that has like a cyberpunk or a cyber world, you know, like a online net running kind of thing. So the game is basically explore the entirety of a star system map. So it's a 36-tile hex crawl to explore this kind of known area. So exploration, combat, and story events. So it's a deep hex crawl, exploration, planet generators, diverse locations, environments, events, and encounters, faction-based quests. So there's a bounty system, a changing story outcome based on what faction you ally yourself with. And the factions seem to have really nice, really different objectives and really nice variation. And then unique space combat and customizable spaceships. So basically, the combat system they're talking about has hacking, implants, cybertech implants, customizable weapons, controllable mechs and drones, narcobiotics, and more. That sounds pretty sinister. So yeah, hundreds of different story choices give you different outcomes. And basically, the six character origins you can choose are Eco-Terrorist, Astromancer, Glitchblade, Wirehead, Desperado, and Chrome Skin. Okay. And they kind of go all in. Like, you can get just a digital, I think very cheap, like $15, $20 for just the digital release of the core book to play. But then they go kind of all in with physical up to a deluxe. And I think even the top tier deluxe is like 70 euros. And it includes the VTT for Alchemy. So you could actually play a digital version with all of the art, with the little animation and the ship maps
by
and
yourself.
Stuff. By yourself. Yeah. But there is a cooperative. The cooperative mode as well. So you could play multiple players. So they unlock posters and things. So let's the factions real quick. Are Warg, the West Anchor Revolutionary Guerrillas, an insurgent group, basically. Medusa Sector, hackers and cyber terrorists. The Intersol Federation, kind of the de facto trade authority. Corsair Syndicate, which are a rogue federation of smugglers, outlaws, and bounty hunters. And then the Synth Arc, which is a quasi-religious organization made up of androids and transhumanists. So, yeah, real different. Yeah. And so that would be interesting because your approach is going to be different based on who you're allied with. And so they're printing physical kind of journals to track your game with. So kind of like a black and white kind of workbook journal type thing. And then also some trifold adventures. So specifically expanding, like giving you different adventures. And probably you'll have a different approach based on what faction you're allied with. So they're producing those as trifold pamphlets. The book itself, details on the book, I think it looks like it's going to be a smaller, like one of those kind B5 kind of digest. I'm not sure if it's hardcover or not, but it looks nice. The artwork itself, at first I was a little turned off because I was like, oh, is this the fakey anime thing? But it's Spanish designers, maybe Spanish publisher that's doing it. So it's got definitely reminiscent of some kind of cyberpunk anime look, but really nice graphic design and everything along the lines of a lot of zine type RPGs, and they state like right up front all their influences and stuff. So so this is definitely worth checking out. And they're using Beyond Cataclysm to fulfill, and then Backer Kit once the campaign ends. So yeah, I think it reaches all the usual places. And I don't think it's going to be a huge amount of shipping because it doesn't look like, even with everything still be in an envelope. So check that out if you're interested in something a little bit different for your solo play.
Solo games, I always kind of wonder about replayability. But it sounds like between different factions and stuff and character types.
Yeah,
there could be a lot here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could get a nice variation. So yeah, so I'll put a link to that. And something Matt actually pointed out.
Ooh, okay.
The Black Company is back. So a role-playing game is in development by Arc Dream Publishing, the guys that do Delta Green.
Okay.
So yeah, that sounds a bit promising. So the last time we saw the Black Company was just a campaign, a D20 campaign setting that was published by Green Ronin, part of their Mythic Vistas series. And that thing is like $250 if you'd like a copy of it now, because it was printed 20 years ago. So that was a $45 back in the day, 320 pages of black and white, basically the D20 system, a Wayne Reynolds cover, and sorry about the buzz. But they said a lot of, if you don't want to play 3.5, basically, you can play it's very useful, the background setting and world information. It was very useful.
Not for that price, though.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Right now, yeah, yeah. So it's hard to find. I don't think it was printed in large numbers, so it's very rare 20 years later. But a press release by Arc Dream said the Black Company is returning. So they don't have a firm release date, but they're announcing that it's in development. So Shane Ivey and Dennis DeTwiller are co-authoring it, and they're co-authors and publishers of the Delta Green role-playing game. So yes, the lady is back. So this is, if you don't know the Black Company, it's a unique dark fantasy setting. So the novelist Glenn Cook, who's a veteran himself, wrote with this from the perspective of ordinary soldiers. So it's a group of mercenaries that are kind of your main characters. So it's dark fantasy because it's blurring. They're actually working in most of the people in the world see these guys as the enemy, see these guys as bad guys because they're just mercenaries working for this dark queen. And this is this RPG will be officially licensed by Glenn Cook.
Okay.
You'll play as an elite mercenary company with continent-spanning wars and desperate raids, rebelling against the Dark Empress who employs the company, or the war between. So it's basically a war between evil and far worse. Is what they said in the press release.
Okay.
So it's from the perspective of the soldier's experience in wars, an adventure in heroic fantasy. So he wanted to kind of take his experience and knowledge as a vet and put that into a fantasy setting. And it really does. It feels so different from other things you've read, where it's not just like, scrappy villagers getting together, or gold hungry, cutthroats, whatever. Yeah. Getting involved in, exploring. And previously, along with Delta Green, they've also produced Godlike and the quote from one of the designers says, "I've been enthralled with the Black Company since the first books came out. This is a thrill of a career. We're writing the fantasy game that we've always wanted to write." Shane and I have long considered creating a dark fantasy game, and Delta Green always wanted a twisted, crazy little brother. So the Black Company is a perfect fit. So they're going to be designing, so there's a little FAQ on their press release. They're going to be designing a whole new game engine for this.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was my question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then based on that kind of quote, I just thought, okay, it's going to be using whatever system Delta Green was on. I actually don't know what that is, right?
Yeah, right.
But if they're making a whole new one, okay, fine.
Yeah, because I think it has to serve, serve a different master. So,
I think you mean Dark Empress.
A different Dark Empress. Yes, and so they'll be releasing a core book and then adventure and source books, expansions of the Empire, and each of the, I think the world kind of expanded and different opportunities were kind of opened up in the subsequent novels for the Dark Company. So things do evolve. People are defeated. Empires, are kind of a rise and fall. And so that will be part of the lore and the background. So they're kind of talking about going through each of the novels and having those source books. And maybe they'll even name the source books after the novels if it's officially licensed. So you kind of know, what you're dealing with time-wise.
I was going to say, Star Wars does that. I mean, the mm-hmm. new kind of Marvel game that, right?
Yeah, So they don't have a firm timeline. It's in production now. And in the meantime, of course, it's a press release. So they say, check out Delta Green.
Of course, yeah.
Because we're still producing for that. So yeah, that's been very successful for them. So that's not going to, not going to interrupt that production. But yeah, it's a, a very interesting setting. I think it would be really fun too, because if you enjoy playing with antagonism between players, like players playing off of each other and, like, you know, tricking each other, like practical jokes and harassing each other, there's that dynamic is in the book, where there's just like this relentless, like, you know, jocularity between the mercenaries, and that can be disruptive and, you know, get you into trouble, but it's also like this, you know, bonding thing. So I think if you played any games where you like that kind of interplay between party members as part of the role play, this setting is good for that, because the novels really it really had a lot of that and really played that up. And also then the company kind of breaking up, you know, the company kind of go, you know, members going off and coming back, and so there's a lot of interesting storytelling in the way this is focused on the, like, soldier level.
What I'm hearing is, don't play this game with certain people.
Yes, there are certain people you may not want to play this game with. Yes, and people, especially people that are worried about alignment systems and things.
Why was it more like jocularity, practical jokes, harassment in the game?
Yes. Not at the table.
Right, yes.
Yes, definitely. But and check that out. I think the books are pretty cheap. The ebooks and everything are pretty cheap if you don't have any experience. And I think there's also audiobooks in various places if you want to check out Black Company to get a little taste of this before it comes out. Yeah, and so, like I said, it's been 20 years since there's been an official. I don't even know if that Green Ronin one was official either, officially licensed. But then, since we've had any sort of campaign setting based on this, so it'll be good to see that return. Oh, and there is, if you've got a group, a regular group, and you're already very interested in this, there is a sign up for playtesting. So Arc Dream Publishing wants playtesters, so contact them, and they'll reach out when the when it's at that state of development. So yeah, so I'll put a link to that as well. All right, so we had Critical Role at Wembley Arena in the UK. So the Beatles and Critical Role shared a stage, whatever.
Neither of which I very much enjoy.
So you're an Elvis girl? Is that what you're telling me? Oh, no.
No.
You got to make a choice. There's only two options.
Those are the only two options, right? Then I abstain.
All right. So, yes, Dimension 20, Gauntlet at the Garden. Great. So they've already started planning... planning their this event. Pre-sale tickets are going on sale April 12th, which would be today here, but maybe tomorrow for you if you're listening to this as of this recording. So yes, Brennan Lee Mulligan will be heading up, will be behind the DM screen with their group of intrepid heroes. I don't know this cast, but I'm sure some people do. So this is like the Pepsi of Critical Role's Coke. Yeah, they're like the second place.
Any
most popular
can be directed to Jeremy on that one. Yeah.
The second most popular, or the new Coke, the second most popular AP, I guess. But a lot of maybe their regular cast members. D&D actual play series, but they focus on, I don't know if this differentiates them, dramatic and humorous storytelling, professionally edited performances, and improv chops from its full cast. Because everybody loves improv. There's no greater art form than that.
Well, I mean, we're talking about role-playing games here, right? Role-playing games do require like improv, right?
But as a pure entertainment form, it's pretty low. Pretty low.
Any and all complaints can be directed.
It's right below mime, I think. But anyhow, New York City. Oh, yeah. So they have this regular, you know, seasons of this regular campaign that they're doing. The Unsleeping City, I think, is their setting. So they're turning this into, or I guess the Unsleeping City is their fantasy version of New York.
Okay.
And they have found a secret borough. It's the sixth borough of New York City, which, of course, is a home to the Fey Courts and magical beasts and folkloric legends, from Santa Claus and the personification of the American Dream to famous composers like Stephen Sondheim. The party members will include all of the ones that the characters that you love: Oyama's charismatic firefighter, Ricky Matsui, and Wilson Kingston Brown, a nurse who serves the city's vox populi, Beardsley's drug dealer turned dream liaison, Pete the Plug. So those characters are all going to be there waiting for you in fantasy New York City, the fake courts in the sixth borough versus Santa Claus, I think, is the exciting part. Because I think the timing is going to be
Christmas.
Yeah, around the season. Yeah, so this is a one-shot adventure. The Unsleeping City already has two existing seasons. It's, of course, the second most popular tabletop actual play in the world. So they only get Madison Square Garden, you know, they don't get Wembley. Sure. So the performance will be recorded and posted on the Dropouts, I guess the name of the group is the Dropout folks, on their subscription-based service at some point after the show has aired. So yeah, the pre-registration has started, or pre-sales have started already, and January 24th they have booked. So next year, 2025, you can watch Dimension 20 at Madison Square Garden.
You know what? Okay. Like, I've said any number of times before, I don't really understand the appeal of APs. Okay. I do understand the appeal of APs. The thing I look for in APs is how to play a game.
Mm.
So, kind of the cult following of cast members or characters doesn't appeal to me.
Right.
However, as we were kind of discussing prior to the cast, if you are able to work yourself up into a position where you can actually sell tickets at Madison Square Garden for the thing, props to you.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's quite an accomplishment. And I think, it speaks to, they know that there's an audience there, and they know there's an audience that will travel to New York, all the headaches of booking hotels and things in New York City to try to go see this. So, yeah, it is impressive that, and it's, I think, what they've tapped into on the internet with streaming these things is a devoted, rabid fan base that is, you know, going to support them. And it's not going to be somebody that's, oh, let's check this out. Oh, that's, you know, I liked this season, but I didn't like this season. Like, it's going to be people that really wanted to dig into that. And I think it's, you know, it's alternative media. It's like, we've got video game streaming. We've got all kinds of things that people, like, engage with now. It doesn't have to be a sitcom or a serial drama or anything. Yeah, it can be improv with Santa Claus. Who knows? But, yeah, so nothing in that sounded appealing, but it is impressive. The scale of their success is impressive, and they're going to have some sort of a cage match to decide all once and for all who is the best actual play.
Some of the discourse I saw around this revolved around the price of the tickets.
Oh yeah,
and yeah. I think someone, I forget who, had a pretty decent point where it's like, I'm sure that the tickets cost kind of what they cost for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feels a little bit like people are willing to shell out large amounts of cash to watch performers play games, but don't pay the same amount of cash to the creators of the games themselves.
Oh, well, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm certainly not saying that people who run APs don't deserve that money, because, I mean, they are performing, and mm-hmm. that's a job, and they're doing all this stuff. So, like, it's well-deserved, but...
Yeah, and
maybe it's just not as noticeable, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like book, if it's like a book signing. Like, if someone tried to sell out Madison Square Garden as like a game designer, come listen to my thing about how I decided to run or design this game, and like crickets, right?
Right, right. And I think that's what the OGL debacle was about. Is Hasbro and then of course WotC got into their got into their heads that, like, wait a minute, there's people that are selling out Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, they're
really
leaving money on the table.
Yeah, we want a piece of that. And so that's, you know, they were trying to, like, push that license. Like, that's going to, if you're making over $10,000, for an event, we want a piece of that. You know, they were trying to figure out a way, and there was just no way kind of legally within what people would accept as a, user license for this game system that they could do that. But I think they're very frustrated that doesn't, doesn't lead, that doesn't do anything for them. You can license video games, and the companies pay them, $500,000 in licensing fees with a successful video game, but a successful AP using 5e, nothing.
I think what happened is, like, any company with, like, shareholders goes, we want money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where what WotC could have done is, like, wow, you're, like, selling this thing out. You know what? You are free advertising for our game.
Yeah.
Why don't we work together to, like, how about, like, you let us use your characters and, like, we'll develop, like storylines or adventures, right? Hey, did you like, I don't even know, Fox mm-hmm. McKenna? Well, like, here's the official source book, right?
Mm-hmm, kind of thing.
So
yeah, they're, I think they're just so much worse at promoting than these actual plays. I think Critical Role and Dimension 20.
Well, I mean, hey, Hasbro keeps like slashing its fucking staff. So yeah. who's left in the market?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I think that they don't have anything to offer. You know, that the only deal that they can make is, hey, we own this.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's all they can do because they can't promote better. They can't get better engagement. And they can't even probably make better products. We're going to see, like, okay. for the quality of, like, you know, Darrington Press, the stuff that they release for Daggerheart. And, like, I'm sure the quality of those books is at least as good or surpasses what, you know, what WotC puts out. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. And I think it's always been the danger. They've known that from the beginning. You only have to buy the three books and then you never have to buy anything else again if you're going to use your own imagination, your own setting, your own world.
Why would you use your own imagination when we have so many setting books and all this stuff? Like, right. Yeah.
And revive the classic adventures. Yep. Yeah, so it's very very interesting they're going to be continually frustrated by this, and I think, yeah, we should just take advantage of that, and everybody should be playing Madison Square, just a whole week of actual plays. All right. But if you're not satisfied with doing that stupid thing and you actually want to play a game at a table, here is an alternative way to play a tabletop role-playing game. Embark on a tasty quest. So 25 unique gummies that will unlock a world of magic and adventure. So Chris, take your taste buds on an epic adventure with 25 unique flavors of fantasy gummies. So one box at an insanely reduced price on this crowdfunding campaign will get you 150 plus gummy adventurers, monsters, potions, and dice. I don't want to roll gummy dice. And take your tongue on a flavor-packed gummy journey. So this is all verbiage from their campaign page, which is hysterical. So we just had, last week we talked about the Doppel. So this was another tabletop accessory, which is a $150 miniature that has LED screens on two sides. And when you like put it down, it like, you know, the little speaker like digitizedly screams your battle cry, and it, you know, and it lights up when you have a condition, like if you're poisoned or whatever, it's green in the base. So that was the ridiculous accessory from last week. This week it's gummy minis. So yes, and they have wonderful things like bitter lime slimes and raging fires of dragon fire inferno, which I guess would be cinnamon. I don't know,
maybe
something. But yes, and of course they're saying this is an unbeatable value because you'll never get this price again for a box of gummy miniatures. And the flavors will include orcish creamsicle, paladin pina colada, owlberry, and death. I don't know what flavor death is. Maybe it's just arsenic flavored. I don't know. Death is a flavor.
Licorice. It's going to score anise.
Right. Yeah. So the thing that it seems a little difficult. I guess the players are going to get to eat all the gummy. I mean, basically the DM gets to eat maybe 4 to 6.
Didn't I just run a funnel? Yeah, just run the funnel. Now I'm hungry. Just run the funnel. You're all dead.
I'm getting hungry. You're all going to die. Yes. So, and you can embark on this mouth-watering adventure yourself. And they give you 3 easy steps on how to use, and it doesn't really.
Open package, put in mouth.
Yeah, right. It doesn't really make any sense. And you don't want to do it on a humid day because things are going to get sticky and melty. And
unless. Okay, I'm trying to remember. I think it was like shark bites in like the 90s. Like, the gummy, like. It had like a. Kind of like a coating, it didn't melt or get sticky. But anyway, yeah.
I wonder if they had to do that. That might be true with these because to get any kind of detail in a gummy, I think you're going to have to use a stiffer type deal. But yeah, this is pretty ridiculous, and so things have gotten pretty far.
Hey, is it more ridiculous than a little USB LED thing that screams your battle cry?
No, it's not. It's not actually worse than that. But this was very odd. So yeah, don't miss out. So do a search for Gummy Quest if you're interested. I'm not going to put a link. This is too stupid, even for us. A big discount for a lot of gummies.
I can't not hear gummy now and think it doesn't have THC in it.
Oh right. Oh. If they only, yes, were available.
Like, I am like 99.9% sure they don't.
The potions do.
Not saying that. You heard any and all complaints can be directed to Jeremy, right? I'm pretty sure they don't, but I can't hear the word gummy without thinking that now.
Yeah, that's true.
Although they didn't say the word edible.
Right. Like a yeah.
Noun. Yeah.
Anyway. That's true. Yeah, it's something they didn't think would be available in certain areas, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can you can purchase your. I'm sure head shops and like the all those manufacturers are jumping on that right now. As soon as this, if this has, I think it was a successful campaign, so it's getting decent support. So they're like, oh, dude, we got to do that.
Of course.
There's two guys right now that are putting that together, formulating their hallucinogenic mind flayer gummies as we speak. But yeah, so Gummy Quest is a thing, and it looks ridiculous. It looks, when they're photographing it on. Grid paper with dice and gummy miniatures. Yeah, it does look as ridiculous as it sounds. But if you got a sweet tooth and you don't want to eat white metal or resin,
neither of which are sweet,
this would be an alternative. All right. So finally, we have our war. We need a bumper, I think, for this. It's getting so common. Our Butlerian war against the machines. Yes, yeah, the Butlerian Jihad. Coming soon trailer. So a card developer has said it has paid an AI artist, in quotes, no names given, $90,000, so $90,000 to generate card art because, quote, no one comes close to the quality he delivers. So this is just area, and I think this is just like kind of trolling, kind of a baity kind of article, because these guys are so obnoxious in their approach to this. So a quote from the developer, for us to get this with a team of traditional artists, it would cost us a lot more money and time. So the game we are talking about is Champions of Otherworldly Magic. Okay. And they basically said that their business plan here is a quote from them. We pay our artists $15,000 per month for exactly 10 hours of work. And this was per month.
Okay.
For a post on X from the TCG account for this game. Why? In that time, he still makes hundreds of amazing bits of artwork astronomically faster than any team of traditional artists. Mm-hmm. His artwork is 100% AI generated, yet it has no extra fingers, no generic designs, no mistakes. It has consistent evolutions, skins, alt art styles. Literally no one is on his level. We don't care how he makes it. We only care that the end user enjoys our game. So all this nonsense is coming from...
I haven't read the article, but I can't complain with what they're saying. They're just like, they just laid it all out. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this is what we're doing. And
this is what we're doing.
It's good enough. So, but the fact that they're like, it's amazing. When you look at the actual stuff, it's like, yeah, this is just...
Big titty.
They obviously... No. They obviously just fed in every trading card game, the art for every trading card game they've ever seen. Because, a lot of that, if you've got a digital version, you've got access to those digital assets. Mm-hmm. They just fed those in and puked that out. And that's why this company asks no questions of this guy, because they have no idea how unethical his technique is.
You do, because what did AI get trained on?
So yeah, CEO Miles Malik was speaking to.
Bold, you put your name on that, bro.
PC, speaking to PC Gamer. So the artist made over 1,000 images with generative AI art over the course of 6 months. Was paid $15,000 each month, so he's up to $90,000. The anonymous artist has 15 years of digital art experience and doesn't. And this was the funny part. But he doesn't use social media, because no artists use social media. Why would you do that to promote your work? So this could very well be like a, back in the MMO days of gold farming, sweatshops. This could just be, a Southeast Asian Chinese sweatshop of a bunch of kids that they throw money at, that sit around, 12-year-old kids smoking cigarettes in their boxer shorts, working on AI art for a card game. It could be that level, because they ask no questions. So so he delivers that. And so they go on to brag about they have made about $500,000 in card sales so far. But the reason that they have made so much is because the cards are also NFTs. So yes, in case you thought mobile game developers weren't all garbage, yes, they're reaffirming your suspicion that these companies are just garbage. So all of the NFTs of this art, which is made from other people's art, can be traded and purchased with cryptocurrency. And then they also in the game sell gems, which can be traded for card packs. And
my question is, have they paid this artist with cryptocurrency?
Oh, probably. Yeah, I mean, if they're already in that, I'm sure that's the how he was paid is with a 120 5,000th of Bitcoin or whatever. Or whatever. Yeah. And so, but they're saying, you know, just to if you're concerned about the quality, the AI can bulk work and do all the initial generating, but you know, there may be some errors and things that they've all handled. So there's a little bit of a, you know, the artist extra obviously finger. Yeah, he's actually like, you know, erasing the extra fingers or whatever. And if you look at the actual art, there's like weird claw and wing problems, that things that just don't make any sense. So it's not perfect, and the artist themselves isn't fixing everything. So if you'd like to see a full collection, I'm not going to put a link to it, but if you want to see a full collection of these champion cards, they put everything on the website, and I guess, you know, probably the price of the NFT, and you'll notice right away there's trouble with some of the, you know, the number of knuckles on paws and things. And basically it does look like they took everything that's been produced for Blizzard and Riot Games and just shoved it through an AI generator. And they probably, because, you know, they, you can do that now. Like, you can get AI generative art and then just feed it a data set. So artists can now do that and basically, you know, generate pseudo Pokemon or anything that they want, because they have access to those digital.
I hope that gets fed into the data set and it's just like human centipede this shit.
Yeah, right. So, we'll end with that, but,
end with the shit.
Yeah, end with the worst part. Yeah, so basically this is just, you know, a guy doing AI prompts and they're saying, yeah, so ignoring the skill and talent it takes to actually do this is insane. And just to say that this one person is, you know, generating these thousands of images, which would mean if you break down, if it's only 10 hours a month that they have to spend doing this, they're making about $1,500 an hour. Yeah, and the work is not worth $1,500 an hour.
It is to the company.
And that's the interesting thing, that as soon as I saw that, when you're breaking it down to the hourly wage, it's like, yeah, nobody deserves to be paid that for stuff that they're not even making. They're not even making. So expect this to be the peak. You're never going to see people paying, what was it, $15,000 a month again. This is the high water mark. And basically, it's going to be down to about $100 a month, you know, to do this kind of work. Like, the bottom is just going to drop out of this.
There's two bottoms that are going to fall, like AI and crypto.
Yeah. So anybody can do this, so everyone will. So let's end with a wonderful challenge that the company has put out there. And the company didn't give the name of the company in the article, just the CEO's name. Yeah, just maybe they're just named after their one successful game. So the company has challenged artists to complete a series of artist tests in 48 hours, claiming that anyone who could match the quality of its AI prompt writer will be considered for a job as his assistant. Bum, bum. Yep. So this is just the trolling and big fuck you on social media, just to probably get some attention for this game, probably. Because it'll make people, if it's free to download, make people, oh, let's see what this is like. Yeah. And they might catch a couple of whales. But that was just pathetic. And the more that people show their hands about how little they care about, you know, what they're paying for and how this stuff is generated, we just want to, you know, enable, have the cheapest graphical interface for our fuck you algorithm that we can, that we're putting out there. You know, that's all we want to do. So we're going to be honest about it.
I take back my, at least they were honest about it. Come on. Take it back.
Yeah, so it's brutal. So sorry, and not. Yeah. So the black company was the brightest news of the week. So unfortunately, yeah, gummy minis and.
I mean, gummy minis at least funny. And crypto or NFT bullshit.
That's true. But that's pretty brutal. So we'll keep you up to date, and I'll work on a bumper for our Butlerian.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm going to day that 48 hours.
Oh yeah, challenge. No. Yeah, I can't wait to be this guy's assistant. He might pay me $10 an hour. So that is all for this week. So where can people find you?
On Blue Sky and Instagram, where I'm finally gotten back to little 6mm Xenos Rampant stuff.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, cool.
Excellent. And I finally streamed again this week. Nice. So yeah, Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitch. So I draw my single panel gag cartoon. And you can watch that happen. And I'll eat some snacks. I had some premium Haichu from the community. So it was amazing.
So the drawings were a little wonky this time.
Yes. So a little. No, not too high. Haichu. The Starburst. Right. Japanese Starburst. Yeah. But these were good. And if you'd like to read that cartoon, gocomics.com is who has it. So gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you like what we're doing on the weekly, consider becoming a weakling.
The strongest of all supporters.
By going to patreon.com/upturntable. And there you can support us at any tier, even as cheap as a dollar if you just like want to see what's going on or just want to yell at us privately, to scold us privately. And so support anything we're doing and give us kind of feedback of what you want to see on the weekly and other stuff you'd like to see on the channel. We're still figuring it out. It's been 5 years and we're still not quite sure what we're doing.
Progress, yeah.
Yes. And so upturntable.com is the website, and then upturntable on all social media. And you can subscribe to the YouTube channel to get notified when we go live or this live.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah.
They're
moving stuff around.
Where they move stuff around. Yeah.
That's right. And we'll be doing the live stream tomorrow for our next session of Dune, the 2D20 RPG. And so subscribe to get notified for that and give us a like to help more people see what we're doing here on the weekly, complaining about algorithms. Yeah. So that's it for this week. We'll see you next time.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.